Ezekiel chapter 12 and 13. The people of the Lord had rebelled against the king of Babylon at this point in time. And if you remember, 2 weeks ago, we were in chapter 8 and 9, and then chapter 10 and 11, which chapter 8 through 11 are chapters where God speaks about his people in captivity. And God actually takes the prophet Ezekiel and takes him into the minds of the people, what the people were thinking in their thoughts, and he exposes them. In chapter 12 now, into chapter 19, we're going to see now as Ezekiel comes back from the Spirit. Remember, he was in the Spirit in Jerusalem, and now God brings him back from that vision, and he brings him back now to Babylon, where the captivity has taken place among his people. Now, one of the things that I see here is that God was using Babylon to bring his judgment upon his own people. And the situation here is that God's people had become rebellious, disobedient, hardened of hearts. But something that spoke to me as I was reading that I hadn't seen before is that God did not want to destroy his people, which this is the case always. God doesn't want to destroy or judge anyone until he finally has to do it because of our rebellion or because of the hardness of heart that we have within our own lives. And so as God chose the prophet Ezekiel and brought him back to Babylon, we know for a fact, historically speaking, that Babylon already had made one siege against Jerusalem, and there were still two sieges left before they would destroy all of Jerusalem. Now, the reason that it took 2.5 more years to destroy Jerusalem and to bring the rest of the captives to Babylon is because while Nebuchadnezzar was making the siege against Jerusalem, he received word that the Egyptians were arising against him. And so he took his army away from Jerusalem and headed down to Egypt and fought against the Pharaoh and destroyed the Egyptians, and then finally came back and continued the siege, as Nebuchadnezzar was God's instrument of judgment. We must understand that. Even though Nebuchadnezzar was not a Christian at this point in time yet, it wasn't until later on in life when Daniel was about 80 years old that Nebuchadnezzar came to know the Lord, that Nebuchadnezzar was called of God to his people that were rebellious and disobedient. And I think it's kind of neat the way God describes this whole thing as he calls the prophet Ezekiel to reveal his judgment and his word to the prophet. He begins in chapter 12, beginning with verse 1. The word of the Lord also came unto me, saying, this is what God was saying, Son of man, you dwell in the middle of a rebellious house, which have eyes to see and see not. They have ears to hear and they hear not, for they are a rebellious house. This was God's proclamation of his people. God was proclaiming that his people were not listening to God. Now, in the book of Revelation, 7 times, John the Beloved says to the churches, he that has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. God desires of your life, God desires of my life, that constantly we pay attention to what he says, especially if you're a Christian. He wants you to be tuned in. For God wants not only to lead your life, but he wants to guide you into all truth. He wants to be personal to you. And also at the same time, he wants you to become personal with him. He desires fellowship with each one of us. The people of God here had cut off fellowship with God. They had actually given themselves to the leaders of that time and to the false prophets and the false prophetess. They were prophesying not in the name of the Lord, but they were prophesying in their own name. And God will deal with them in chapter 13. But here in chapter 12, he begins to deal with the people and the king, Zedekiah. He was the king at this time when this took place. Now, something that's interesting about God's word is that when God says something before it happens, God will bring it to pass, not in your time, but in his time. A prophecy was given to us in the book of 2 Kings, chapter 20, about what would happen to King Zedekiah. And here Ezekiel once again brings it up again, what God is going to do, because he still has not seen the heart of the king in repentance. So God again warning the king to repent. I am amazed at how many opportunities God gives to each one of us before he has to judge us. I am amazed how people don't hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Even though these people had ears to see, they could not see. They were spiritually blinded. Even though they had ears to hear, they could not hear. They had deaf ears, which were spiritual deaf ears, to hear what the word was proclaiming to the prophet Ezekiel. How we need to be careful of deaf ears and spiritual blindness, even in our own lives, that can bring us into judgment. How we really need to pay attention to the word of God when God speaks and study it prayerfully. For God wants to reveal himself and his purposes and his will for your life and for my life. As God desires not to wipe me out, but God desires to use my life for his glory. This is the purposes of God as he speaks to the prophet Ezekiel about his own people. Now, the reason that God says that they were a rebellious people, and I thought about that for a second, and as I was studying and reading the other chapters, you begin to see that the answer comes as God's people were not taught the word of God. These were people that did not know God himself. People that never paid attention to the teachings of the word of God. Now, there is a danger to people that do not hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Well, you have people that come to church and, you know, they're sitting in church, and while the word of God is being taught, or you're at home and having a devotion and you're not paying attention to what is being said, then you're a candidate for deception. You're a candidate for Satan to beat up on. For you have no defense without the word of God. The reason that so many people become confused and are confused is because they haven't spent time studying God's word. They don't know God's will for their lives because they never read the Bible straight through. They don't know what the Bible speaks about. If you really want to know God and you want to know his perfect will for your life, read the scriptures systematically. Memorize God's word. Digest God's word. Meditate day and night in God's word so that he can speak to you and he can become real to your lives. You see, we're trying to fight off the enemy without the word of God is actually to be a prey to the enemy. To have no defense. For the word of God is a defense to my life. And a defense to your life. And so here the prophet is called by God. And the Lord is going to ask him, as he's asked him so many times. Ezekiel is one of the prophets where God asks him, when God uses illustrations, he's supposed to act them out so that people could see what God was intending to do. And this is what he's going to ask him now in verse 3. He says, "Therefore, son of man, prepare yourself and stuff away or remove by day in their sight, and thou shalt remove from thy place to another place in their sight. And it may be that they will consider, though they be a rebellious house." God is asking Ezekiel to move. Ezekiel, you go home, you pack your bags. But when you do that, I want the people to see what you're doing. So as Ezekiel went home, he packed his bags and got everything ready. And right in front of daylight, he stood out and he began to move from one place to another place where God was trying to speak to the people of God through this. Now, listen. What God was trying to show the people that as Ezekiel would move from one house to another house, God was showing them that they would go into captivity. They would be judged by God. You see, the false prophets were telling the people that the judgment of God would never come, that they would be safe. Kind of like the same message that we're hearing today, the message of prosperity. That nothing really is about to happen when yet we know that the judgment of God already has begun. We can see it. But you see, people that are not in the Word of God, people that are not spiritual people, they're the ones that probably also are going to be the ones deceived by the Antichrist when he comes. Because they don't know the Scriptures. We're living in those days where there are many deceptions going on in the body of Christ. And when people get a hold of that, they automatically mark everybody in that category. The Christians are insane, fanatics, arming ourselves with guns so that we can kill. But that's a poor misrepresentation of Christianity. You see, one of the things that the church has done over the years is that we haven't really been salt to the earth. We have misrepresented God, and we've given the world a lot of things to talk about in the church. And the reason is because we've been rebellious and disobedient to God. And that's why the judgment of God has to come. Even though God had a remnant of people here and he was going to spare them, most of the majority of the nation would be judged by God as they would go into captivity to Babylon, and many of them would die in captivity. God would kill them there. And so Ezekiel is concerned about his people. Why? Because Ezekiel is a true prophet, a true shepherd of the people. The false prophets don't care about the people. They only care about themselves. And we'll see that in a moment in chapter 13. But listen to what he says again in verse 3. God says, it may be that these people will consider, though they are a rebellious people, maybe, just maybe, by watching Ezekiel do this thing, maybe they'll wake up and repent. Maybe, just maybe, I can do something with them. I may be able to pour out my love and my grace and my mercy upon them if they just maybe wake up. God was desiring not to destroy the people, but to build up the people. That is God's always his desire toward any one of us. God is not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. God is not happy when people go to hell. The heart of God is broken and sad because people go there, are there eternally. This is the reason that God has given you, God has given me that opportunity while we live on this earth to do something for him as we come by faith and put our trust and faith in Jesus Christ and we become Christians. And God can use my life, and God expects me to be obedient to his word. This is the desire of God here in the book of Ezekiel toward his people. And then he goes on and he says in verse 4, and then shalt thou bring forth your instruments by day, and in the sight of all the stuff but for removing it. And thou shalt go forth even in their sight as they go forth into captivity. Dig now through the wall in their sight and carry out thereby. In their sight shalt thou bear it upon thy shoulders and carry it forth in the twilight. Ezekiel, thou shalt cover your face that the Lord see not the ground, for I have set thee for a sign into the house of Israel. God was using the prophet as a sign to the nation of Israel, as God would judge Judah and send them into captivity to Babylon. And notice the obedience of the prophet. And I, Ezekiel, did as God commanded me to do. I brought forth my stuff by day and stuff into captivity. And in the evening, I digged through the wall with my hand, and I brought it forth in the twilight, and I bore it upon my shoulder in their sight. And in the morning came the word of the Lord to me again, saying, Son of man, has not the house of Israel, the rebellious house, said to you, what are you doing? You see, by him moving from one house to another place and carrying all the things on his shoulder, they became aware that something was going on. And so God begins to ask the question to Ezekiel. Ezekiel, the people are asking you, what are you doing? They're opening their hearts. They want to know. What am I doing? Ezekiel, this is your opportunity to share with them. Watch this. Say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, this burden concerning the prince in Jerusalem and all the house of Israel that are among them, saith, I am your sign, like I have done, so shall it be done unto them, and they shall remove and go into captivity. Now God begins to speak to Ezekiel about how God is going to judge the leaders. He's going to begin with King Zedekiah. This is the prophecy for King Zedekiah. The word prince here, it's in reference to King Zedekiah, which we find in the book of Jeremiah, and also we find him in the book of 2 Kings, chapter 20. And this is what God is saying. Now, check this out. How God's word is so perfect. Let me read the scripture, then I'll expound. Verse 12. And the prince, which is King Zedekiah, that is among them, shall bear upon his shoulder in the twilight and go forth, and they shall dig through the wall to carry out thereby. He shall cover his face that he see not the ground with his eyes. My net, the net here is in reference to Babylon, the instrument of judgment, also will I spread upon him, and he shall be taken in my snare. And I will bring him to Babylon, to the land of the Chaldeans, yet he shall not see it, though he shall die there. And I will scatter towards every wind all and out of him who help him, and all his bands I will draw out with the sword after them. Now, what God is doing is God is prophesying something that before it would come to pass, so that Ezekiel not only would know that this is the word of the Lord, but also at the same time he was giving the king an opportunity to actually come to know the Lord. That nothing would happen to him if he wouldn't go through this whole thing. Now this is what he says here. And this is historically speaking what happened. God is speaking to Ezekiel and telling him that Zedekiah will try to escape the captivity. He'll dig through the wall of Jerusalem, as he's making his way out towards the wilderness. And as Zedekiah and his wife and his sons are escaping with his men towards the Dead Sea, some of the Babylonians will catch them and they'll be caught. But before they're brought back to Jerusalem, God's judgment will come upon King Zedekiah. And this is what happened to him. The moment he was caught, King Zedekiah's sons were killed in front of his eyes. God told him that he would see it. It came to pass. The second prophecy was this: after your sons are killed by the Babylonians in front of your eyes, he says, it will be the last thing that you'll ever see. And then they plucked out both of his eyes, just as God had said. And then they led him back to Jerusalem blind. And before he was taken on his way to Babylon at Riblah, there Zedekiah died, just as God's word said, before he reached Babylon. The prophet here prophesying by the word of the Lord that it comes to pass years later as God has said it. Think of what God has said about you or about me, as God has been dealing with your life or my life. And the importance how we need to listen to God's word and not only be instructive to the word of God as the word of God is instructive to my life, but listening with an ear and watching with an eye what the Lord is saying and what the Lord is showing us. The only way that that can come about is if you fully surrender your life to him. That's what Zedekiah should have done. He didn't. He paid with his own life. Before he paid with his own eyes and his own life, his children paid the consequences of his rebellion. This is important that we see here in the judgment of God here. Then he says this, which is interesting, verse 15. He says, now all this that I have done, verse 15, and they shall know that I am the Lord. This is why I did it. So that you may know that I am God and you are the clay. Notice, I am God that rules. You're not ruling. I rule. I am the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And then he says, when I shall scatter them among the nations and disperse them in the countries. And then he speaks about the disbursement that would come to the children of God, to Judah, in the dispersion of captivity. But I will leave a few men of them from the sword, from famine, and from pestilence, that they may be declaring all their abominations among the heathens wherever they come, and they shall know that I am the Lord. Even though I am going to do this, I still among those people have a small remnant that are mine. I will lead them, I will guide them, I will protect them, and I will feed them myself. Notice, God taking care of those people that were in submission to the captivity, even though they were going to go captivity, God says, you go and I'll be with you. Instead of resisting, God wanted them to submit to the captivity. A lot of the people didn't do that. They were killed. But these remnant submitted themselves to the promises of God. Even as today, if the church of Jesus Christ before the Lord comes, if we have to go through some pretty heavy things before the Lord comes, know one thing, that even if the judgment of God is already here, God knows who are His. You don't have to worry about it. God will protect you. God will care for you, just as He has in the past to His own children. And then He says in verse 17, moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, son of man, eat thy bread in quaking, and drink thy water in trembling, and with carefulness. Notice the command. Here is the message. And say unto the people of the land, thus saith the Lord God of the inhabitants of Jerusalem and of the land of Israel. They shall eat their bread with carefulness, and drink their water with astonishment. Notice that her land may be desolate from all that is therein, because of the violence and all of them that dwell therein. And the cities that are inhabited shall be laid waste, and the land shall be desolate, and you shall know that I am the Lord. What was God talking about? That God would bring famine and death, and that Babylon would come and set their judgment against them. You know what happened? The people began to starve to death in the city as the Babylonians waited out, and the women began to eat their children, just as God said. That's what he says, and that's what he did, the judgment of God. And it's incredible when you read the scriptures, as God is so perfect in his dealing with men. God doesn't make mistakes. We make the mistakes. So God did judge the people. Verse 21, and then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, son of man, what is that proverb that you have in the land of Israel, saying that days are prolonged and every vision faileth? What was the proverb? There was a proverb going on by the false prophet saying, take it easy, be at ease. The word of the Lord is not real. Nothing is going to happen. Everything is going to be okay. God says, don't listen to them. They're lying to you. Watch this. Tell them, therefore, thus saith the Lord God, I will make this proverb to stop, and they shall no more use it as a proverb in Israel. But you say unto them, the days are at hand, and the effect of every vision, for there shall be no more any vain vision or flattering divination within the house of Israel. God says, I'm going to judge the false prophets. They're not going to be able to speak anymore. Why? Here it is again. For I am the Lord. I will speak, and the word that I shall speak shall come to pass. Not like their word. Their word doesn't come to pass. It's phony. It's false. And check this out. And then he says this. I lost my place. Verse 26. And again, the word of the Lord came saying, Son of man, behold, they are the house of Israel. And check this out. The vision that he sees is for many days to come, and the prophesied of these things that are far off. Again, they were saying that things are not going to happen. God's grace is there, and it's not going to happen. It's too far away, when the judgment of God was right in their midst. Therefore, say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, There shall none of my words be prolonged any more, but the word which I speak shall be done, saith the Lord God. He says, it's not going to delay anymore. It's here. I am going to fulfill my word. Now, watch this. Chapter 13 continues. The judgment of the false prophets and prophetess. The word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the false prophets of Israel who prophesy, and listen to what they say. Say unto them that prophesy out of their own hearts, Hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, Woe unto the foolish prophets that follow their own spirit and have not seen anything. God has not spoken to them. There are many like that today that proclaim, Thus saith the Lord. A couple of them already have been exposed on national television. There was one guy that was actually a healer, had healing services, where he and his wife got together, and as people were coming into the auditoriums, they would put kind of one of these hearing aids that you can work with communication, where the wife would interview the people as they were coming in, the color of dress or pants or suit, and then the needs they would have. And then during the service, she would be backstage talking to him through this little earphone and telling him exactly the color of the dress, the person, and the needs. And then they would say that God was healing them, and God told them, there's such a person here. That's phoniness. That's deception, my friends. That's not the Lord. It's amazing how people can flock to people that God's not really speaking to. They speak vain things. They only speak to fill their pockets with dollars. And that's just where it is. God tells him, and God tells anybody else that is a phony, man, woe to you, you foolish prophets that follow their own spirit and have seen nothing. God hates such people. God says there's a hot place for those people. Well, I'll let God speak for himself here. Verse 4. O Israel, your prophets are like the foxes in the desert. You have not gone up in the gaps or the walls, neither made up the hedge in the house of Israel to stand in the battle in the day of the Lord. What is he saying? He's saying that these false prophets do not give you a true security, but a false security. Walls stand for protection, and God is saying, you have no protection with these people. You're an open bait for the enemy. What do? Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 to 3, they make a merchandise of God's people by sending you computerized letters when they don't even know you personally. And they fleece you from your pocketbooks. That's what he says. That's what these people were doing. He'll tell you in a moment. The women, the false prophetess, were soaking the people for funds, taking up on themselves, buying themselves nice clothes and nice housing and all these things, while the people were being deceived by these prophets, which were false prophets. God had not sent them. And yet the people flocked to them. They flocked to them. Listen to what God says. This is heavy. Now remember, this is not me, this is the Lord. O Israel, verse 4, your prophets are like the foxes in the deserts. You have not gone up into the gaps or the walls, neither made up the hedges for the house of Israel that stand in the battle in the day of the Lord. They have seen, notice, falsehood and lying divination, saying, the Lord said, the Lord told me. Believe it or not, people, don't listen to people when they say, the Lord told me to tell you. God can speak to you like he can speak to them. He doesn't need somebody to go for him. He's a personal God. He doesn't even need Mary to intercede for him. That's how big God is. When people say, I'm the only one God speaks to, be careful. Or somebody is always saying, God always speaks to me, be careful. Because God can speak to any one of us here and each one of us, and that's why God has chosen his people. These people were phonies. Like these people today are phonies. They're only living for the now, you know, buying their nice gold watches, Rolexes, $20,000 Rolexes. Their medallions and their chains. And listen to what God says about these people. Have you not seen a vain vision? Foolish vision? Have you not spoken a lying divination where Arius saith, the Lord says it, I have not spoken? And you're saying the Lord spoke to me when God has not spoken? That's blasphemous. Blasphemous for anybody to say the Lord told me when the Lord has not told you anything. Verse 8. Therefore, notice God's rebuke now. Therefore, saith the Lord God, because you have spoken falsehood, you lied to my people, you deceive my people, and you have seen lies. Therefore, behold, I am against you, saith the Lord God. So I am in good company. God is ticked off at these people. He's mad. He's angry with them because of what they do to the people. They deceive them by lines. But here's what God says to them. This is heavy stuff. Verse 9. He says, I am against you, saith the Lord God, and my hand shall be upon the prophets. God's going to judge them. How? That see emptiness or falsehood, and that divine lies, and they shall not be in the assembly of my people. Thank you, Jesus. They'll never go to heaven. Here God is speaking three things against them. Number one, they will not go to heaven. They will not be written in the book of life. And thirdly, look what he says, and they neither shall enter into the land of Israel, which was the land of promise. God says none of those things they'll ever inherit. Why? Because they're phonies. And Jesus in the New Testament said in Matthew chapter 7, the Sermon on the Mount, he says, and in that day, people will stand there and say, those that prophesied in my name, those that cast out demons in my name, and those that did miracles and wonders in my name. And they'll say, Lord, don't you remember us? And Jesus Christ will say, I never knew you. Depart from me, you evil servants of iniquity. Right there, even in the Old Testament. God's not going to put up with it. He hates phonies. And check this out, verse, again, the last part of the verse. And this is how you'll know what? That I am the Lord your God. They're going to be eternally lost. There's a hot place for those people. Too much is given, much more is required. So they might as well enjoy what they have now, because they're not going to have nothing later on but torment. Verse 10. Because they have seduced my people. There is a problem. They have seduced my people. How? By lying words. The Lord told me. There's somebody here tonight. 100 people are going to give $1,000 each. The Lord told me. Close the doors. Nobody leaves. Ushers, secure it. They do that. I've been to some of those dinners. And I said, I'm leaving. It's sad. But that's what God says. Watch. Because they seduce my people, saying, peace when there is no peace. And no one builds up a wall of defense. And lo, others put plaster And notice with untempered mortar, which means it won't hold up, it'll fall down. There's no defense, no foundation. Lo, when the wall is fallen, shall it not be said unto them, where is the doubling? Where have you doubled it? Where is your defense? Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, I will even cause it. Notice, with a stormy wind and with my fury, and there shall be an overflowing shower in my anger, and great hailstones in my fury will consume it. God says, I'm going to judge them, and the people too. And so will I break down the wall that you have dabbed with untempered mortar, bringing it down to the ground, so that the foundation therefore shall be discovered, and it shall fall, and you will know. Notice, he wants to consume them. He wants to expose them. And you shall know that I am the Lord. Thus will I accomplish my wrath upon the wall and upon those people, the false prophets. And they have dabbed up with the intemperate mortar and will say unto you, the wall is no more, neither they have dabbed it. To wit, the prophets of Israel, which prophesy concerning Jerusalem, and which see visions of peace for her, and there is no peace, saith the Lord God. They're phonies, he says. And then here are the women. Likewise, thou son of man, set thy face against thy daughter of thy people, which prophesy out of her own heart, and prophesy thou against them. These are the women. These were the false prophetess. Look what they were doing. And say to them, thus saith the Lord God, woe unto that woman that sews a pillow in all armholes and makes a veil upon her head. Trying to be spiritual, trying to be sanctified. Notice what he says, will you hunt the souls of my people, and will you save those souls alive that come unto you? They were fleecing the people. Watch this, verse 19. And will you pollute me among the people for handfuls of barley? The people were bringing their barley to them, and they were getting rich. For pieces of bread to slay those souls that should not die, and to save those souls alive that should not live? For you're lying to my people that hear your lies. God says, I'm against you women that lie to my people. You keep them out of the kingdom of God. I'm going to judge you as you enrich yourselves. Wherefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against you, against your pillows, wherewith you hunt the souls to make them fly, and I will tear them from your arms, and I will let the souls go, even the souls that you hunt to make them fly. Your handkerchiefs also will I tear, deliver my people out of your hand, and you shall be no more in your hand, notice, to be hunted, and you shall know that I am the Lord. God is going to rescue his people. Because with lies you have made the heart of the righteous sad, whom I have not made sad. You see, they get bummed out. They have no right to bum out the people of God, those that are righteous, because they don't tell them the truth. I have not made sad and strengthened the hands of the wicked, that he should not return from his wicked ways. Notice, by promising him life, he says, you don't have to repent of your sins. You can go into the kingdom with your sins. God is love. Be careful. Therefore, you shall see no more falsehood nor divine divinations. And here it is. Notice the promise. For I, God, will deliver my people out of your hand, and you shall know that I am the Lord. Thank God for that. Father, we come before you this morning to thank you so much for your grace, for your love, and for your mercies.